Maybe if you are here this morning and you are either in need of healing or know someone close to you who is in need of healing, would you raise your hand? Just raise up your hand. Okay. Look at it. Oh, my goodness. Hey. This is a serious thing, isn't it? Jesus is the healer. He's the healer. He promises to bring to bear his death and his resurrection on your sicknesses. That's what he brings to bear. Amen? And so, Jesus, we pray. As we just sang, your mercy is running after us. So is your healing. Through the cross of Christ, where his shed blood was given to us and his body was bruised for us, where he went to the grave for us, where he rose from the dead for us, having victory over death and sin and sickness. And so, Jesus, we now, in your holy name, apply the resurrection life to all of those who've raised their hand and all the ones who they represent, whether themselves or others. Go now. Bring healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. And this last one, someone wants to do well on their science exam so they can have the classes they want next year. So my question is, did you study? We can definitely pray for that. This is kind of week of this has been a week of tests. So God, we just lay that out before you, and we trust you, oh God, in your mercy, that our future is secure, even if we pass or don't pass the test. You have in store for us things that go well beyond what we could ever think or imagine. But Lord, we pray that things would work out well for this one who's asked for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's my dad, you know. That's what he said. Pray I pass today, Dad. Well, did you study? Yeah. All right. Well, we want to finish up our series where we have been studying from the Scriptures how to grow in the grace of giving. And I hope and pray that you have enjoyed this. My prayer is that, I mean, I've had fun studying it, thinking about it, praying over it, teaching it, and it's just been a delight to walk you through this. Now, the number one reason why is obviously the Lord Jesus, through you, has been very generous. And so, again, like I said at the very beginning, it's a little bit like preaching to the choir, right? Because this is such a generous church, and you know how to give. Many of you are very, very polished at it. You're very good at it. And some of you are learning, oh yeah, giving, what's that about? And so you're learning along with the rest of us just how important it is to give and to mark aside some for a tithe and some for a giving and a gift. This is a very important part of Scripture's teaching. It mentions this more than really any of the major doctrines like love and faith. So it's a very important thing that we learn how to deal with finances well. And so I praise God as I hear stories back of some of you saying, you know, I've been deciding and thinking through and reordering and re-looking at my own giving habits. That's what it's for. And so I just sing in my heart because the Holy Spirit is showing you these things. Now, there's a kind of a fun thing I want to do. One is I want to open it up this morning to some testimony. Have you heard or have you seen or what has happened to you since you began a journey of reordering, re-looking at your finances? And is there any testimony in the house? Well, I know there's one for sure. I got one here. Someone sent it to me. So I'll read this one. And then if you have one, if you're brave enough, and if you think the Spirit of God wants you to say it, then say it out. Okay? Hello? All right, well, why don't we pray first? All glory, all praise, all honor go to Jesus Christ, God our Father, in the presence of in the power of the Holy Spirit, for all the good things that you have blessed us with in this life. And we thank you, Lord, that you've been showing us and stretching us a little to push the boundaries of our giving, to have some fun with you as we look at our finances and to see where you are taking us in this journey. And so today, Lord, whatever we learn from the Scriptures, may it bring glory to you. Whatever we hear is a testimony. May it bring glory to you. As we walk through and figure out, and some of us are in the valley of sort of choosing which and where and when and how to give differently, Lord, your Spirit, give wisdom so that Christ may be glorified in our giving. And we thank you for this today. And praise, Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we walk through this scripture today, oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight alone. My God, my rock, my redeemer. And Lord, I'm asking for just a little extra strength as I feel a little bit weak this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this is a testimony from Wendy. Is Wendy here? She's not in here. She's usually in the office looking after stuff. Okay. There was a time in my Christian life that I tithed from what was left over every month. And we never seemed to have enough, and so it was very hard. I was feeling very frustrated with our financial life, and when I read the scriptures from Haggai chapter 1, which says this, "Now therefore, thus the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you don't drink to the full. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm. You earn wages. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring the wood and build the temple that I have, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house lies in ruins, while all of your houses are in good shape." Isn't that something? So looking after yourself only isn't what God wants. He wants us to look after the needs that he presents to us. All right. So, after I read these words, they resonated with me as it was exactly how I was feeling. I still took a bit. I better put these down. Where did my... Sorry, guys. All right, I'm getting old. Who said that? Oh, look at them jump off the page. All right. These words resonated with me as it was exactly how I was feeling. It still took a bit, but I was trying to understand what God meant by building his house. So the short of it is that we came to an understanding that tithing was something we should do first, not last. We made the decision and never looked back. Has everything worked out great? No. You can still make some bad decisions. But once we started giving to God first, we found that perhaps open doors were there when we needed them, or we had just enough, or we had direction when we needed it. Many blessings indeed. We can tell you there are marked differences from the time we made our decision to the previous years. Wendy, isn't that a great story of God's provision? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else got a story that I don't have to use my glasses for? Nice and loud, you want a mic?
Okay. I've got a story. It's not my story. I was working with a single mom, and she had four kids. And it seemed like she just worked so hard and everything, and we had a chance to share when we were on the road. And she said, she attended the church and so on. And she said, "Paul, you know, every time that I don't tithe, and every time that I tithe first, like you said,
yeah,
there was always plenty."
Huh.
That impacted me so much. And I praise that single mom, along with the lady in the two pen
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Amen. You're next. You came up first.
Do I have to turn it on?
Nope.
A kingdom principle is generosity, and my dad, I got to see it firsthand from my parents, and his goal was always to be able to live on 10% and give 90%. And by the time he passed, he was able to give 60% and live on 40%. But the first time I saw him, he was a brand new believer. It was back in the 80s when the inflation rates were super, super high. He had an operating loan of 21%, didn't want to lose his farm, our home, everything. And I remember him flat on his face in the living room floor, just crying out to God. And surrendering everything to him. And then he felt the Lord say, tithe. And he had didn't know that principle, so he started tithing. And within 2 years, he had the titles of all the land he owned. And the accountant, his accountant was an atheist. And he says, you give so much. The numbers don't make sense. But here you guys have the titles, the land titles in your hand. So I just want to encourage you. And if you're going through a hard time in your finances and you want to test God, mm-hmm. it's a good time to do it.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Oh, more. Here we go. Man, there's going to be a steady stream,
okay,
I think.
I'll talk
I may
fast.
Not get to my sermon.
I have a few. So number one, if you're starting out with tithing, I remember this was back in 1999. I don't think I even had Braden yet. No, he was 2000. And I was at church, and I read Malachi 3:10. The pastor was preaching on it. And at that time, I didn't work. I just had my baby check. My husband was not into tithing, no Christian thing or anything. So I just said, Lord, I'll just test you in this. And I gave my 10% of my baby check. And that was a stretch, you know, back then. And he showed up in a really powerful way that it was just a couple days later, and my husband and I won a free trip to Hawaii. Ooh. And I had never been. And I remember we won it, and God said to me very clearly, he said, I will always take care of you, and this is a blessing. Hmm. Two, over the years, tithing, yes. Not always walking in obedience with being a good steward of the other 90%. Mm. And I've lived through a lot of consequences. So if anyone's living through that kind of stuff where you've always wanted more and more and you're kind of digging the pit, you know, you got to put down the shovel. Mm. The Lord will get to that point where your consequences will be screaming out at you. And this is a new year, but the last 4 months before, my small group knows that my wages have been cut in half, and still being faithful in tithing, and I was actually tithing and offering more than what I was when I had my full income. Mm-hmm. So that's the Lord. There was one day I was at home, and I was listening to this thing on tithing, which, I mean, I feel like I already knew, and the Lord was just saying, I want you to give $5. And some people have heard my testimony of this, and I opened up the Bible and I started declaring scripture over this $5, and it wasn't much. And I just said, Lord God, I'll test you in this. And I just, out of obedience, started doing that. And I came to church one Sunday morning to worship, and there was an envelope here for me, and it had $500 in it. And God said, I will multiply. But there's something really about, I know Charlene has been a big advocate for teaching me and being a mentor, but tithing and offering, and if you feel like your finances are like crazy, like in a whirlwind, or you just feel like you've dug a pit so deep you don't know how, he's the one that will get you out as you give tithing, offering, and you walk in obedience.
Amen. All right. So all I heard was I tithed and I went to Hawaii. Did you all just hear that? thank you for those principles. That was very good. Come on. Linda, I'll just leave this right out, I guess.
Okay. I'm not a very good accountant, so when I do my checks and all my book work, it seems like I'm always short or too much. So anyways, this one day, and the work had been really low, and I wasn't tithing, and I wasn't tithing my 10%. So anyways, I just kept going, and I went into the bank, and I realized, okay, this is not going to be enough, and I'm in my head, I'm going a million miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I could just hear the Lord say, pay it all and tithe. And I'm thinking, okay. So I did it all, and I'm waiting for the teller to tell me that I'm short. She didn't say nothing. So I walked out, went and got in the car and looked at the thing, and there was like $1,500 extra in there that should never have been in there. I just sat in my car and cried all the way down to the church to give my tithe. Mm-hmm. And it, work has never been short. Mm. And I tithe, and then even my pension check, I started tithing that. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, kept telling me to, I give the whole thing away. I don't even keep it. And then if I need something, like a new pair of shoes, then I do it, mm. and then I still end up giving awesome. Most of my pension away. And then also the one cute little thing is we have chickens. And I had a few customers and money, and I just buy the feed. And one morning the Lord said, did you tithe on your money for the eggs? And I'm thinking, oh, I did not. So I just threw a great big pile of money in there. And they've only been like this about 35, and they've only been laying about 26 eggs. So I went home and I gathered over 30 eggs, and I've got about 5 new customers.
Jesus. There you go. All right. Thank you. Awesome. Linda, I think I was following you home when you were driving and crying because you were all over the...
Hi, so I'm Heather. Some of you know me. My testimony is very much about a little over 4 years ago, my husband left me. I have 2 small children, and I was pretty scared. Mm-hmm. I prayed, and I continued to be faithful to what I could do. I needed a job, like yesterday. And so I had 2 job opportunities that were coming up, and I was really praying, which one do I go with? The one I knew I would hate because it was the same thing that I had left. The other one was brand new, unknown. And I prayed that God would make it really obvious. He did. I didn't get the other one, even though I had the most experience of anyone applying. And I ended up working at the eye clinic in the Green Square. Turns out, through COVID, my boss was very happy to let me bring my kids to work whenever I needed to. My older daughter did school on the computer next to me while I did a full day's work. At the other job, I would not have had a job anymore because there was no childcare. I continued to pray. I needed a place to live. Eventually, I still was living in the house, but it wasn't a long-term solution because I couldn't afford it. I ended up doing school through work. I was like, okay, student loans, here we go. I applied for student loans. They looked at my income. They looked at the fact that I had 2 kids and said, oh, here's everything as grants. You don't have to pay it back. And here's an extra $1,900 every semester. And I was like, nice. Oh, okay, thank you, God. So I put that $1,900 away into a savings account every semester. That and my income tax refund that year was my down payment on my house.
Awesome.
My house also provides income because I bought an up-and-down duplex and I rent out the bottom, so I have extra income beyond what I am able to do working. Mm. So it's just a story of God's faithfulness. You don't need to be afraid. God's got you. He's mm-hmm. got it taken care of,
Amen.
And there's no need to be afraid.
Amen. Thank you very much, Heather. I love that. You know, it's actually refreshing to also hear that it's not always a financial blessing, that sometimes it's babysitting where you work. That's God just looking after you. Isn't that great? And so that all is part of this whole thing of generosity. I know sometimes we get money focused, but God's not money focused. He owns it all anyway. He's not money focused. He's more focused on your heart. That's what he's looking at. Awesome. Anybody else? One last. Okay, here she comes. You don't need a microphone, but I'll still give you one.
I'm Natalie, and I've shared this story with Pastor Kevin. A few years ago, my mom passed away, so everything was put into probate. And she didn't have a lot, but God provided for her. But I said to the Lord, I told him my plans with that money. Hmm? And I said, I know when that money comes through, she would have tithed on it, so I already have plans for it. And she's already tithed on it, so, Lord, I'm not tithing on it because it's already been tithed on. So I had this little conversation with God about that. And I had this big list of all the things because I had extra cash. And so we were out camping, and Donnie was out getting wood, and my hands were actually in pain, both hands. And I said, God, where is this pain coming from? And everything was still in probate. And he said, you were hanging on to that money so tight, I actually had pains in my hands. And he said, and it doesn't belong to you, it is mine. Mm-hmm. He got my attention. I repented of that. I turned from that. I turned to God. I confessed. I was in such godly sorrow on how tight I was hanging on to that money. And I said, you're right. It is yours. And if you want me to give the whole lot away, I am willing to do that. But he had a different plan. So I said, okay, I am tithing on this money. And then he said, I want you to start giving it away. And I had more fun in asking where, who, and how much. And he was giving me big amounts. That, and even one time, I remember when Mackenzie came from Australia, and I said, okay, Lord, how much am I, should I give her? 100? 200? 300? I'm still not getting any peace. The amount he gave me shocked me, but it was so fun to be able to give God's money. Mm-hmm. It all belongs to him. Sure. And because of that, I was able to do all the plans I still had and more. And God brought us so much favor. Mm. And out of that, my husband became saved. Yeah. And it just, the blessings just kept rolling. And when it's not your money, when it's his, you will look at it so differently. And it is so fun to be able to bless with his money. And it's even more fun when you do it secretly.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Natalie, some good things learned there, hey? Well, I think the sermon's pretty much been preached. What do you say? I'm hungry. Anybody else hungry? All right. We've learned some things over this last month. Let me just refresh your memory. The first thing is, when it comes to money, God really doesn't care. He cares about your heart. The first place when you want to start a journey of figuring out how to grow in the grace of giving is to start there. A heart that knows it's set free. A heart that knows sin is forgiven. A heart that knows shame is gone is a heart that's now free to freely give what it has freely received. And so it starts not in your wallet, it starts in your heart. As you've heard these ones testify, God challenges us in the heart. The second thing is a mindset. There needs to accompany it a willingness to do what God has asked. There has to be that element there. And not just in finances. I'm talking in the Christian faith in general. A willingness to move forward. A willingness to desire what you don't normally want to desire. A willingness to do something other than you had planned to do. There's a willingness in the heart. And if you want to grow in the grace of giving, it has to have a place of willingness. And that's where the testing comes. God comes and says, test me in this. As you've heard almost all of these testimonies, they've said, test me in this, the Lord has said to them. Test me. It is the only time in Scripture when God uses those words, test me in this. And it's so fun to realize, even as what was just said by Natalie, Pastor Ryan talked last week about the attitude. So it's not only a willingness, but it's an attitude of cheerfulness. Even in the midst of suffering, we can be full of joy. Even in the midst of extreme poverty, we can be generous. And that's because our hearts have been touched, our willingness is there, and then he uses a strange word. He uses the Lord blesses or loves a cheerful giver. You know what word we get in English out of that word? Hilarious. In other words, if you have a heart set free and a willingness to give and a desire to test him in it, have some fun with it. Have some fun. God wants you to enjoy this process of growing in the grace of giving. That's what he wants from us. Finally today, We're going to get to your wallets. Okay, everyone sit a little heavier. All right, we're going to get down to that wallet. God wants that wallet. And as I mentioned in one of my messages, there was a man who was baptized, new believer, fairly wealthy. And he said to the pastor on baptism day, "Pastor, can I get baptized with my wallet?" And he said, "What? Why?" He said, "Because I am so rich, I want to make sure my wallet goes into the water with me. Because I want it to be a blessing to others." The wallet is generally the first place we go to when we apply or when we ask for giving. Would you agree? We all start at the wallet. But really, that's not the place to start. The place to start is your heart right? Is there a willingness there? Is there a cheerful attitude, a joyful kind of let's test God in this and have some fun? And then you get to your wallet. Because once you grab those few dollars or grab your checkbook or grab your debit card or whatever it is you use, there needs to be a sense of hilarity. Even if you're suffering, even if you're in trouble, even if life has caused you great harm, you can still grow in the grace of giving. Well, open your Bibles with me, please. I want to thank you all for testifying there and praise God for his goodness towards us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6 and reading through to verse 12. So this is 2 Corinthians. If you don't know where it is, you can use the table of contents right near the beginning of your Bible, and you can find it by looking at the page numbers. So 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians. And then each book in the Bible is divided into chapters and verses, so you can find your way. All right, so starting at verse 9, the Lord's word is this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly also will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, that's a need word, not a want word, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He has given gifts to everybody. You know, in God's sight, we're all poor. We come into this world with how much in our pockets? And we go out with how much in our pockets? We are all poor. And so he gives gifts abundantly to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. This is a right and good thing. So now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply the increase in your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The good deed will keep going. You'll be made rich in every way so that... I want to do a series sometimes on the so that's in Scripture. Here's why. So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's all about Him. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So not only is our giving practical, but it is an act of worship as well. So let's just look at a few things here, just to help us along in our journey of growing in the grace of giving. First of all, he says, remember this. I think it's important for us to understand that he's speaking, you know, we've sort of parachuted into the middle of a teaching. And so he's basically saying, here's what's come before. Here's what's come before. So he's saying, now remember this. This is what I've been trying to tell you. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Does that make sense for those of you who are mathematicians? Yes. If you're a farmer, that makes sense. You want to sow a plentiful crop. Now, in those days, they didn't have fancy machines like we do. They just scattered seed, right? And they hoped that it took root. That was the sowing he's talking about. And you don't just sow a little bit. Why? Because if you just sow a little bit, there's a less chance that you'll have a good harvest. And so he's basically just using some good old-fashioned farming terms here. And it's about your willingness and your heart to sow. And it has to do with being carefully consider your giving. This isn't just sort of one of those things where I just reach into my pocket and throw something in the plate. Okay, that's not what this is about. He's telling them specifically to be thoughtful, to remember. When you're thinking about how to give, think about the sowing and the reaping harvest, the reaping principle. Think about that. And then let that affect what it is you're about to do. Okay? That's a very important scripture principle. Calculate it. Even be strategic with it. Okay, so we need to give, as Paul has said, without feeling obligated. Now, I got to tell you, I grew up in the church. I was saved as a little kid around my mom and dad's breakfast table. And I got to tell you, there are times when I heard the appeal for money from the front where it was very much just a move of the Spirit. It was light. It was easy to hear. And it made me want to give. But on the other hand, I've also heard appeals. If you don't give, there's a coercion element. And that is unhealthy. And that is not right. Because our giving should not be pulled out of our pockets. It should be willingly offered up. And it should be with a smile. Oh, another chance? Awesome! In the previous chapter, he even said they were pleading with him. Can we help, please? I can remember my kids, right? Oh, Daddy, please, 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 please. Okay, okay. There was that eagerness, that pleasure, please, you know, can I participate? And that's what God wants from us. He doesn't want it to be like pulling teeth. And I just had some surgery on my gums. It was no fun. I did not want to be there. He took what I didn't want to give him, and I went away bruised. And I think that's a good picture of far too many givers in the church. We think it's taking. And I've heard that so much by people outside the church and people inside the church. It just seems like all they want is your money. All we want is for you to know Jesus and to know him in his fullness. Money and the love of money is the root of all evil when you don't see it as a gift from God. And how you display it, how you give it out, there needs to be that fun. I love what Natalie said. It was like, I was just having fun. And really, that's what he's after. Verse 8. This is really good because now faith enters into the equation. I believe that's what Paul talked about. Paul talked about, Brother Paul back there in the room, not Paul from Scripture. This is what Paul is writing about. The Paul from Scripture, not the Paul from the back of the room. Okay. All right. We'll get that straight. All right. He's saying, add faith. So here's the need. Here's what's going on. Here's what the Spirit is nudging me. Now, add some faith. Now, why should we do that? Well, here's the thing. Here's why. and God, who is able to make all grace abound to you. Does that sound like a nasty negative verse? No, he is able to make all grace abound to you. He can even provide you with a job where your boss says, yeah, leave the kids here, it's okay. He can do that, amen? Because he loves to outgive you. You can't outgive him. You think you're offering him a few hard-earned bucks, and he's going, oh, look out. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the farm that you've always wanted. Hey? You thought you were shelling out a few bucks. His imagination was so much grander. And the lesson is there, have faith. Trust in him. He is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, and this is a key verse, having all you need, not just all you want. Our culture is full of wants. Full to the brim. You can go a wanting any time, any day of your entire life if you want to. This is about needs. Because if you focus down on just your needs, then you'll be able to abound in every good work. All right. So how do we view this? I'd say it this way. Don't worry. I know that the temptation behind giving is to worry you won't quite have enough. Isn't it? Come on. And God is saying, if you hear me here in this verse, you don't have to worry. I got you. I have you in the palm of my hand. You are the apple of my eye. You are the sheep of my pasture. I have you. I've got you. Don't worry. Instead, turn that upside down frown into an upside up smile. Because I've got you. So don't worry. So that you can abound in every good work. So Hebrews says, don't forget to do good and to share with others because this kind of sacrifice pleases the Lord. So it's the way a Christian life should be lived. It's not just your money, okay? So say that with me. It's not just my money. So say that with me. It's not just my money, okay? It's my heart. That's what God wants. All right. Jesus said this way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you want to pull off some good works, what does that look like? All right, so I want to make a suggestion of three. There's heaps you could do. And I'm not saying any amounts. I'm not even saying the word tithe on purpose. I want the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to do, okay? So the first thing is, we hear from Scripture, having all you need. Not having all you want, having all you need. In other words, I will look after your basic needs, your food, your shelter, your clothing. I'll look after your needs. Your babysitting needs, your job, everything. I'll look after that. This is very important. In fact, it is a principle of Scripture. Listen to what Timothy teaches. Paul teaches in Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But those who don't care for their families, members from their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Did you hear that? Wow. He is saying that he provides for you so that you can look after your needs. That's what he wants you to be able to do. And from that secure place of looking after your needs, you'll be able to let the grace abound in good works. So he wants you to know, take care of your family. Now, sometimes, and I have heard testimonies of people who say, you know, the Lord told me not to give this to my family, but instead to trust him with it. And there's a whole book of stories from a man named George Mueller. Do you know him? So he was a man who raised orphanage. He's kind of invented the orphanage. And they had no money. And he would have times when he'd have all these starving kids and no food. And God would ask him to give even what they had. Isn't that scary? But he did it. And every time. And it says, somebody making an observation of his life, through his writings, he basically prayed down millions and millions of dollars to look after those orphan children. And what a blessing. So if you want to really be stirred in how to grow in the gift, the grace of giving, have a read of one of his stories. He is good. He's very good. All right. Another good deed is to look after your local church. So when you're reading the scripture, some people have come to me and said, you know, like I said before, all the church wants is my money. Some people have said, do I have to give it all to the church? Can I give it other places? Okay. And the answer to that is found in scripture. So in the book of Romans chapter 15, so the book of Romans chapter 15 and verses 25 to 27, Paul is telling the believers, I'm about to take money from you and give it to the believers in Jerusalem. So that's an important thing that was happening. He'd asked them to give, and they decided to do that. And so he's challenging them here in verse 25. However, he says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. So I'm going to minister to them there. For the Asian churches of Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. There was a famine, so they were going to look after those people. And they were pleased to do it. And then Paul says this, and indeed they owe it to them. Now that just sounds totally contrary to all the other stuff I keep reading about how it should never be coerced, it should be a free will offering. So what is Paul saying here? Well, he goes on to explain, here's how we owe it. Here's how these churches owed it to the Jewish church, to the Jewish believers. For those who are non-Jewish have shared from the Jews' special blessings. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus came from the Jewish people. And so they owe it to the Jewish people to share with them. And that word share is kind of a priestly ministry. To see this as a priestly ministry, material blessings. And the principle is very clear. You should make sure that the place you receive most of receive all your teaching from, or most of your teaching from, your fellowship from, make sure that that place is looked after. Yeah, that's why we have an offering at church. And that money goes in, and that money is expended. And we want to make sure that we use all of it for God's kingdom and for His glory. And then that includes paying me, paying Pastor Ryan, paying Nicole, paying Wendy, paying for this lovely facility, paying the taxes, is there taxes on this building? I don't know. Paying for the heating. I know there's that. Today there's heating, right? Can you feel warm enough in here? Somebody came in and graciously helped us with the heating as a gift. It was awesome. So you can see that God wants us to take care of where we receive most of our spiritual blessings from. All right? And this is where you gather. This is where we've gathered. This is where we come together for fellowship, for teaching, for encouragement in the Lord. Amen? Okay. Moving on to the last one. It's also to support the mission, the action of the church. And there are two different ways this happens. One is through giving to overseas missions. Now, this is a very important part of our church. We give regularly to overseas missions because the gospel is advancing in places that don't have it. We take the Jaffrey offering in October every year so that we can contribute to taking the gospel to places that have no known gospel. So we do those things so that you can participate in them. And you do faithfully, and thank you for that. But maybe God wants to increase those things. That's very important. And so that's a part of our mission. It's also equally important to make sure that we look after the needs here. And so there is benevolence, there's compassion, there's food bank ministries, there's help for the poor in various ways, and the Lord enables us to help many people. And it's always a joy for me to be able to look at them and start from a position of yes and let the Holy Spirit guide the conversation. Now, sometimes it has to be no, just so you know. We don't just give to everybody. And sometimes there's deception involved. There's a lot of reasons why it doesn't happen. But I'd have to say most of the time we want to help and we do our best to help. That's because we have money to do so. And that's because of your generosity. So we do that on your behalf, but that does not mean that just because we do it on your behalf that you don't have to worry about it. If God brings somebody personally across your path, take care of them too. Because it's all grace abounding in good works. And so that's what we do here, the mission. To be able to have a church where we meet together, we receive the encouragement of God's word, we receive fellowship, training, teaching, and also to make sure we look after our families. And then once all that's kind of, you know, you're strategically thinking about where you give, there are things called windfalls. I think that would what I would put in the category of what Natalie said. That's a windfall. There's extra money that you just had no plans for until you finally saw that you had it. Now what do I do with it? Okay? It's kind of a fun way to learn how to give by using windfalls that way. I know our elders, we want to extend this part of the building, but the cost went crazy through COVID, as you all know. We were this close, and then we had to pull the pin just because we just sensed the Spirit of God saying no, for one thing, not yet. But maybe in this season now, we can begin to do that. But, you know, we don't want to take a huge mortgage out. That would be foolish. But we do want to see needs met. And so you're going to start to hear a little bit more about our building expansion. And it's not to kind of coerce you, okay, after this message. That would be stupid. It's meant to just plant a seed. If God gives you windfall, consider that we could have some extra space for kids. Has anybody been back there with those kids back there? Anybody? Raise your hand. Is it full? It's pretty squishy back there. But those troopers out there, make sure you thank a teacher today. Okay? They go out there and they work with the kids. I know. I have a class that's in the foyer. And sometimes in my class, people have to walk through the foyer. And wouldn't it be nice if we could have our classes in a special designated area so that they're out of the foyer and out of everybody's walkway? It's not bad, and I don't think I'm complaining. I hope I'm not, because I still love teaching. I'll teach anywhere. But at the same time, wouldn't it be great to have that happen? And the third thing is our offices. Like, I feel bad for Nicole. I know she doesn't ever complain about it, but I feel like she's a long ways away from my office. She's way over there. And I would love it for all of us just to be in a nice block of offices. Again, this isn't in God's hands. This isn't in our hands, and we're not going to force a plan down anybody's throat. It's just what we're talking about now and praying for. And we'll wait for the Holy Spirit. I'm not in any rush. Anybody here in a rush? I think if we went back there, we might find a few people in a rush. But we don't want to be in a rush. We want to follow God's clear guidance, even for things like adding on to a building, or maybe especially. So, grow in the grace of giving and enjoy yourselves in the process. Praise His holy name. Let's have a prayer. I just want you to bow your heads for a moment. Just you and God now, okay? You and God. He's there sitting across the table from you. He's got a beautiful fresh cup of coffee, and you've got yours, or tea, whatever you prefer. And He says to you, what can we do here? How can I help you grow in your grace of giving? How can I do that? Have that conversation with the Lord. And just wait there until he says, okay, I've got an idea for you. And then take it and run with it. So thank you, Father, that you give us all good things. Everything is yours. It's not like we own a thing. It's all yours. It's healthy to remind ourselves of that. It's also healthy to remind ourselves that you have fun with this. This is a little bit like a game for you. You enjoy outgiving your givers. And it has to have that flavor to it. The blessing is in there. We bless you, and you bless us. It's a beautiful two-way street of blessing. Lord, we stand against worry and fear. And in Jesus' name, we say, no, that is not the place for worry or fear. That is the opposite place. It's for faith and trust that he is going to provide more than you could ever imagine. And so we pray for these things as we come to a close of this series today. In the name of Jesus. And God's people said together, amen.